Welcome into this episode of the Art Wonk Podcast. This is episode 48 and I'm your host Neville. And today I'm going to be talking with New Zealand painter extraordinaire Andrea Eve Hopkins. Now, as often has been the case lately, this is a recording from Whangarei, from the New Zealand collaboration experience. And it was one of the last recordings that I made during that week of extraordinary making that we had up in the Whangarei Heads. And this was really an important one for me. I had been working really hard to try and get Andrea to come and talk with me because she was so busy and integrated into everything that was going on. And she kept putting me off and putting me off. And then eventually she said to me, look, I don't like microphones. And I pestered her. I'm sorry, Andrea. I probably was a big pain, but I did. I pestered her because I really wanted you to hear her story. And yeah, if I'm being totally honest about this, I really wanted a chance to just sit and chat with her because I find Andrea to be one of those people that fills you with enthusiasm. You know, she buoys the people around her. So eventually she agreed right at the last minute, and it was a nightmare time for both of us because there were so many interruptions. In the editing of this conversation, I cut out 18 times that either trucks who were moving right past, there was a driveway right outside the little cabin that we were sitting in, our trucks were moving containers, there were car horns honking as people were trying to get around each other. People yelling, things being dropped. It was a very, very noisy experience. So I've done my best to cobble together what sounds to me like a cohesive conversation. And I think you'll agree, this is fascinating. Andrea is our cultural ambassador. She navigates or helps us navigate as non-Māori the Māori culture elements that happen within collab. And I'm sure for some of you, this might actually be a bit of a surprise. We have Māori culture there. This is held in the Whangarei Heads. And Whangarei is a very richly diverse and integrated culture. The people there actually live on a daily basis their Māoridom. And it is wonderful for those of us who come from areas where it's not as overt and not as publicly accessible. We get a chance to actually be part of something that is really rich. So the way out at the beginning, which is the song welcoming us, the whole protocol thing is guided primarily by Andrea. She is the person you go to if you have a question about appropriation or if you're wanting just some clarification. And she does it with such grace, with such manner, with such a sense of rightness about her. And for people like myself, yeah, I grew up in New Zealand in the 70s and the 80s. That was my schooling years. And sadly, I'm embarrassed to admit, my connection with Māori culture in general was incredibly limited. So my experiences at Collab are just, they're like magic for me. Because I've finally found a place where the understanding, the true meaning, the life of culture connects with terms, phrases, and things I've seen from afar. And Andrea is our navigator, the wonderful front person for this. There are so many people there who actually help. It's not just one person. I don't want to at all disregard the effort. It's a team thing. But she's the front person. And that is so often the case when somebody stands up in front of everyone else and makes themselves a focal point, it can go wrong. Not in this case. This is what the conversation kind of plays around the edges of. We talk about her career as a painter, and she is an incredible painter with such manner and such well-recognized skills. But we also talk about how Collab works for her as she dances in and out of not just art making, but weaving people's experiences and knowledges and understandings together. So this is one that I have avoided, primarily because I knew it was going to be a nightmare to edit. So I kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Now I get to just share it with you. So this is Andrea. Kia ora, Andrea. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've got the lovely Andrea with me. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Neville.
So can you give us your name, please, just so we've got it on record?
My name is Andrea Eve Hopkins, and I paint pictures for a living.
Ah, well done. Anticipated the next move. And paint pictures. you don't just paint pictures. You tell stories in your work, eh?
Yeah. So,
but you identify as painter.
Yes.
Yep. And collab, you're a painter here.
Yep.
That's your thing?
Yeah, yeah. Quick solution fixer, hopefully. Oh. Tries not to get in anyone's way. Human foghorn.
I'm trying to get my shit together and all of a sudden she's off. I love it. You are pretty much the first official voice of collab when it comes to the greetings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you fill the room with this love when you welcome us. Mm. Is that, it's not a burden? Is it a burden? How does that work?
It's not something I do for anyone anymore. Sort of deal. But, when it's a bunch of friends, yeah, I just do.
Yeah, it's magic because often there's not a type.
I've never really thought about it because it's just like who's here that can do that process and who knows how to weave around the process to suit the needs of collab because this is an marae and there's it's not really associated with any one iwi. It's a bunch of people coming together. So you can be kind of fluid with that sort of hakato welcoming process. That is authentic to this place, but not specific to it, and therefore also doesn't wrap it up in restrictions. That's going to restrict that creativity as well. So I mean, I am the first voice, basically because I'm the loudest one, and sometimes that's just it. But that's one of those things that I always laugh about when particularly some female politicians in Parliament go on about how they feel marginalised because they're not allowed to speak at the mihi-mihis and da-da-da and they're marginalising women's voice and all poor oppressed Māori women. It's like, we are actually the first voice that anyone hears before anything. How can you get any higher than first? But they don't see kaikaranga and the act of karanga necessarily in the same way as mihi-mihi. Because really they're just wanting to be heard, they just want to talk about their policies, all that sort of stuff. I sometimes think they're just using it under the guise of, oh, poor bit, you know, so they can, you know what I mean? It's hard to explain something after like 10, 12 days of, bugger all sleep, the voice is gone, had to do the auction yesterday and do all the thing, quite drained.
Thank you for that, by the way. It really was a help because it's a big job, so you had to step up there.
Yeah, I've got actually a lot of time now for Richard, having stood up there, I think, twice now just behind him and to help him. The stuff that he does and even just being able to talk, see, and all that, catch everyone's bids, not annoy the audience when he has been doing the same amount of work, if not more, because he's like one of the original movers of equipment. Before anybody gets here, there is a team of people who are ferrying stuff to and fro and organising all that sort of stuff. So Richard the auctioneer works harder than most, and then he has to deal with all that energy coming to people who want the art, and some of them get a little bit snarky when it's like, see my hand because I want that thing, and it's like, he's trying his best, man. Do you realise this fellow's probably had 16 hours sleep in 5 days? So
oh no! Well, you definitely helped in that sense of stepping up.
Well, you know, I can enunciate te reo relatively well.
Yeah, and I thank you for that as well, because for a lot of us, it's too rarely that we get to experience culture in a totally appropriate place and way. It's not from somewhere else.
No one died.
No.
Different protocols and things kick in if it's one of those serious ones.
Yeah.
And most people see that because sometimes that's the only interaction that they necessarily have with the culture is when someone's passed on and they're going on to the marae to pay their respects if they want, you know, if you've been in that scenario. So you've probably seen the formal formalities of tangi process, which are, you know, quite. But if you know the broader thing, because we do some stuff here that wouldn't be done anywhere else, there's room to be fluid.
And that's also a really good reminder of how creative languages and all languages and protocols shift and change too. But what you have kind of added into the mix is an awareness level. I loved when we got to meet the kitchen staff and they explained, you know, not to take your hat off and put it on the table.
Mm.
And a whole pile of us.
It's also, I actually reckon some of those tapu things like take your shoes off, don't put your bums on tables, the hat thing, it's actually also a hygiene thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a hat and, you know, no one wants a hair in their kai. So really sometimes it's a practical thing as well as the head being sacred and so it could be sweaty. I found the practicality and the logic in some of those tikanga, not the eerie, fiery stuff that other people sometimes make it out to be. A lot of it was just purely practical.
Yeah, but it was great to have it explained and I became instantly aware, shit, What have I done? And my hat lived on my knee. And it was so easy to
do.
You didn't know
it. It also doesn't clutter up the table.
Yeah, and that's important. You're right. Yeah, that whole thing. There's learning everywhere if you're looking for it.
And even when you're old. Like I'm only 21, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And yeah.
The guitar I got for my 14th birthday birthday is actually older than 21. So
do you feel any weight in terms of being, I'm not suggesting you're an ambassador, but at the same time you are a representative of a voice.
That's voice that everybody sees, and then you're not terribly sure that you like your face and your voice sometimes if you've had a hard week, and then you're there in front of a whole bunch of people and you have to make
it happen.
Make them feel welcome as well. You know, I know that's a responsibility. I mean, it is my job to be the friendly face, even though I've been, as we discussed earlier, blessed with a face for radio. It's my job. If I'm going to call somebody in and make them comfortable, we also have to deal with some people who might not be comfortable with speaking and that sort of process, and then get nervous. And then they sort of do the, oh, when do I stand up? When do I sit down? So over the years, I've developed a couple, it's just plain body language, because it doesn't matter what language you physically speak a lot of the time. There's lots of things you can do with your hand, or just subtle things. If you do it right or something,
people respond, people get it, and they're then, doing
you know,
it. Yeah.
Particularly if all eyes are on you.
Yeah, it does give you power, but also...
It's also quite subtle, instead of going, sit down, or something like that, you know. I'm not known for my subtlety, but I can, you know, that, I think that's fine with everybody.
Yeah, oh yeah. My fear was singing in public. Like, it's just, I don't feel comfortable. And yet that first song that you had, and we all joined in. Like, I found myself singing along.
Because everyone knows a little bit of that tune.
Yeah, but equally it felt like I wasn't going to be judged. It just was so natural. You led us into a song. Nobody actually knew that was going to happen.
No.
And we were just like, oh.
I picked the song. I always pick the songs depending on who's speaking, what they've spoken about.
Right.
What the kaupapa is. So that's part of the thing about if you're going to lead a song, as well as knowing every single word, you listen to what the speakers are saying and you adapt. The song is supposed to be like the thing that sort of brings the whole corridor together. Like the, you know, you've got a really good, just polishes the stone a little bit more of the corridor. That's what the, you know.
Yeah.
So you pick the song, you try and pick a song that's appropriate to the moment. And in that moment, that particular song, I thought was appropriate for us, because I could have stood up possibly and done like a 9-minute long more tier version of a thing that I learned some years ago, and everybody would have been stunned. But why? It just would have been, look at me, you're stunned at me, aren't you? It's not about the whole thing. And I want you fellas to sing along. We don't have time to have like a kapahaka waiata session where we all learn a collab something. Song.
Yeah.
Although me and Carly came up with an idea up by the fire the other night. We should adapt Hotel California into Welcome to the Hotel Collaborations. Welcome to the Hotel Collaborations.
I can hear
such
Carly
a lovely place. Such a lovely space, you know.
We need a song, actually.
Yeah,
why don't we have a collab song? That makes
Because everyone's
sense.
Too busy. Come on, Neville. You're in there. You're smacking away on the hammer. Do you want me coming in there going, come on, kapahaka practice now, people?
Yeah, no, well, maybe not. But equally, when I'm smacking along on the hammer, I'm actually, my pulse starts to align. Everything happens. So
yeah,
we
I was watching
are musical. It happens that way. So maybe just... That's something we can explore in the future. There's always some way.
But you don't want to. It sounds like when you say we are at a camp by the beach for 7 days making artwork, it sounds gloriously relaxing. But really, at the end of the day, we are working, and some of us are working harder than others. Yeah, I marvel at those Pākehā or not. They're kaumātua in my language. Erwin and Bruce and all those fellas, and just their energy levels are astounding. As I said, I'm just past 21, but my body's aching in places that I didn't know exist. And one of them's like, what, 30 years older than me? I mean, Bruce is in his 80s, isn't he? 83 or something. Alex.
I'm not sure. Close to it, yeah.
Yeah, Alex is, I mean, he's got a glint in his eye of a young man, and he's got the mischief, you know.
The mischief's there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, he's of an age. He's a 1946 model, and he is up with the rest of us making beautiful, stunning jewellery that everybody comes to and covets at the auction, including myself.
You'll get a young one who's
all, oh, yeah, yeah. All this energy.
We're going to stay up all night and party and, oh, yeah, we'll feel the moment. The next minute you're asleep at 7 o'clock in the morning when we need you awake in your young bones to lift things into the truck. Why are you still in bed? Come on. So but you learn to pace yourself. They're new.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew. They don't, you don't, you know. Some people have the luxury of going away for 3 days to a hui like this. So, you know, you think you've got to live it hard and fast in those 3 days and whatnot. But then you come to day 5 or 6 around here and you're just standing there with the collab stare. Yeah, you know, have you seen that thing where there's just people standing in the hallway and they're not, they're just.
It's like somebody unplugged them and they're just rebooting.
Yeah, there's like either that line across the bottom of the screen, loading. Loading, 21%, 25%, you know, dial-up speed. You get about day 6A, we're on dial-up speed.
And that whole thing is...
And then it's, are you all right? Do you need a hug? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you need a drink?
And again, I notice you take that role on. You become our nurturer mother as you walk past, reaching out, just caressing the back of somebody as you go by, that connection.
With consent.
Yeah, well...
I always ask for consent.
Yeah. It is still a powerful action because it is a connection when sometimes those people are sitting there because they've just been overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And they're feeling in their heads like they're on their own in this experience.
Yeah.
And somebody who has the awareness to recognize at that moment in that time... They just need connection. I've watched you do it, and it's really, it's a sweet thing because it's not pushy. It's just,
you know. No, if I wanted to be pushy, we all know that I can be pushy.
Yeah, well,
but in those moments, people don't need pushy. They need somebody that they know has done it and has empathy for it to just say, are you okay?
How many have you done?
Well, before, this is my fourth one, but before this, I was part of a group called the Taitokita Māori Artist Collective, and we used to do exactly the same format, but without a lot of wine, as much wine, definitely not on the dinner table in the marae. But these were run on marae, 120 national and international artists, mostly from sort of Pacific Rim cultures all the way up to Northwest Canada and around to... all the islands and everything. They happen every year in conjunction with Te Atinga and Toi Māori Aotearoa. So when I came into collab, I already had a background of helping other people organise massive events like this, from the marquees, from the back of the house to the front, over the years. I've tried to learn as much as I can about every stage, and you're always learning.
That explains I came into this
knowing it.
Yeah.
Well, knowing a bit of it. Knowing how not to get in people's way. I found this one being a bit more freeing because... there isn't the restrictions that you have to go along with because you're on a marae and you're on a people's whenua and in their sacred houses or their special places. Yeah, so I've sort of run the painter's tent. And
your paintings, your private practice has been one of really quite meteoric rise.
Nah. It's one of those things where, you know, like when rock stars say a star overnight. But I've been having, I think, my first solo show, my first dealer gallery, I straight out of art school. I was picked up by the Studio of Contemporary Art in Auckland, Soko.
I see that as meteoric. You come straight out and bang, you're there. You're on the radar of so many people.
I was picked up by a guy. My first patron was a guy called Kevin Mail, as in Route 66, Three Bears, Newmarket.
Right.
He taught me an amazing lesson straight up. He walked into our Oslo student. I was in Hastings under Sandy Adset. He walked in and he saw my work and says, can you paint me 7 of them? And I went, yep. And he says, I'll give you $3,500 for them. I would like one like this, this and this. And we talked about, then I talked to him about kaupapa and things, and he was like, oh yeah, and we worked it all out. He came back, I thought he was joking actually, but I thought, I'll make them. Well, if I got to lose, I can always have a show. And this was when I was still a student, because I was already thinking like that. It was like, I'm not doing this to say that I've got a certificate and to go into arts administration and for better or worse have a family and children and do all of that. It was like, I'm doing this because I'm going to do that. I don't know whether it's going to take me, but I'm going to paint pictures and I'm not going to get any, you know, I'm not going to look for a handout, I'm just going to paint. And I was lucky enough to be picked up by Kevin. Kevin bought his 7 paintings for $500, took them back to Auckland, got some of his gallery mates to all come round to his house and look at them, sold them instantly for twice the amount that he paid me for them to a gallery who then sold them. So my $500 paintings each, I found them in that gallery. For like $2,400 to $1,800. And that was a sharp lesson of not undervaluing your work And then I did get a check, sure, and I lived off that for ages because I make Paul look good.
Right.
You just have to.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in the style.
And that was a short, sharp shift into that world. By that stage, I'd figured out I can actually do most of this by myself. And what I don't know and can't afford to pay for, I'll learn how to do it myself. I'd always known Manos and all them, and because I met him through art school up here in the 90s. So I was one of the original members of the Taitokiro Māori Artist Collective, which went from senior artist mid-career down to emerging and mentoring and everywhere in between.
Yeah.
So this is why this is no surprise to me. Not only do I have some sort of background about how not to annoy kitchen staff and how to appreciate the woman in the kitchen. Yeah, I just know how to...
And navigate the
navigate.
The
and as long as people aren't dicks, I'm pretty...
There are a few that lose that perspective when they're in the middle of their own heads and
yeah, we all do it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how quickly you can snap out of it, whether you're going to affect other people in the in your process,
yeah.
And how quickly you can recover and not waste time, say, if you get a prickle in your finger.
Yeah, well, you know, your finger's an important tool.
On this hand.
So when you're making here, do you treat it different from when you're making?
Oh, yeah. I have a plan. I come in with a plan. You have to come in with a plan, particularly when you have as much, because I'm not committee. I don't want to be committee,
yeah.
But for various reasons, mostly because a lot of the committee members are friends, I just hear and help. And they all know that I do have some sort of knowledge from front of house to back. And if you want a quick solution about something, I might not always have the right one, but I'll have a quick one. You can actually action it instead of standing there for 10 minutes in the collab.
Doing the, reboot. Well, so I noticed that any group, you can have talk fest evolve where everyone's got an opinion, everyone needs to be heard, and then eventually...
I like ideas, I'm not really fond of opinions.
Yeah.
What's they saying? Opinions are like, everyone's got one?
Yeah, and sometimes they tend to have the same relationship to the world.
Less hui hui, more dooey dooey.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you'll have another one then. Kai whaka know it all. You know how some people are just kai whaka know it all?
Yeah.
And you can just slip that word underneath there and they just think you're speaking te reo. But I made that one up. If you ever hear somebody say that,
it's an aneurysm.
Hopkinsonsism.
So you end up in this place where your work is really well known and you've got to be a little bit careful of your brand because although
we're generous here. Yeah, we'll see here, right there because I don't consider me a brand.
Yeah.
I don't.
You had Andrea Land.
I mean, the reason I had Andrea Land was because they were trying to sort of restrict the process. Like at one stage they were talking about having the porphyry for my own show. And also Whangarei Art Museum had never had a living local body of work in their space ever. They'd had locals. But by the time they get round to it, they're dead. Like my friend Jo Hardy, she was an amazing painter. She was a magical realist.
Oh, wow.
Her work's amazing. Yeah. It's a prime example of somebody too. Artists need to look after themselves because, you know, next minute, as she put it, I'm riddled. And then you're gone. Mm. And then it's just your work that I have to talk to.
Keeping that idea of this is going to outlive me, so I'm only going to put my
legacy
into good things. Yeah.
Legacy.
So, but you ended up having to navigate that program of how am I going to deal with these people who don't quite get what I'm saying, and you found a solution by making Andrea Land.
Yeah, they were trying to do the thing, we'll have a porphyry, we'll do an opening and a welcoming, and we'll get this man who sounded like he was younger than me to talk on your behalf.
Oh.
And it was like, me? And I was like... They were like, yeah, because we have to follow the protocols. And it was like, why? This isn't him and I. And I was like, we've got to do the thing. It says, if anyone's talking, it'll be me and my girls. And they were like, we've got to go along with that. I said, no, you don't. I'm going to call this thing Andrea Land, and then I will set my own kaupapa because this is my land. This is my work. They didn't like it, but they did it. And then I was fortunate enough, my girls did come up. And one of them, who never speaks at all, really speaks at all, she's just starting to get used to it. It's Tā Gosash. One of the most amazing New Zealand painters.
Right.
Yeah. If you've got a spare 26,000, she's the one to invest in because it will be.
Yep. So her name again?
Star Gossage.
Okay.
She's the daughter. She's
the daughter of Peter and Tilly Gossage. They're the couple that made those books that were really the only sort of Maori content books that we had in school at our age, with Maori Catches the Sun, Fishes Up in North Island.
I still remember the net, I think. On
the cover. That's her father. Her father's actually the Pākehā, but he was the he was the drawer, and also Tilly was an amazing painter as well. So Tilly helped with the stories, and Peter did all the illustrations. But at the moment, Peter passed away a few years ago. They passed away incredibly close to each other. One was a surprise, one was not. She's one of the best painters I know. And Charlotte Graham, who's also an amazing painter. There was only like 5 contemporary Māori woman artists coming up through the ranks of my generation in the commercial gallery world in Auckland at the same time I did. So we all knew each other. We tried, it was like, oh, we're friendly. Oh, because, white walls, white wine, white gold.
Yeah.
It's all like, it can be quite intimidating if you come from another cultural sort of world where art is treated more as a storyteller of reverence. In some people's cases, it's the personification of their ancestors, their tūpuna, straight into a world of
crass commercialism, really, sometimes.
Yeah, I was lucky. I had a really good gallery, but some of the other ones weren't. So you had to kind of navigate between, and, some would spin you a yarn too.
Oh.
Or try to.
Yeah.
Oh, when you're going to, oh, no, actually, on the contract that we gave you, what contract that you gave me, we were going to, it states that we're going to pay you like a, the month of the following month.
That sucks. As a gallerist, I always felt like that was my people.
Yeah.
Treating my friends wrong. It's weird. So
Cara, the one in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She used to have a gallery in town too.
Yeah.
And she was really, really cool to work with the same sort of philosophy, Some people just have a monarchy or they care about the artist. Some people just want to keep their 40% plus GST, particularly if your painting's like 10 grand. That's a 100K. We'll just keep that in there getting the interest. I didn't get more school C, but, I'm not silly.
Exactly.
I know what's going on. So anyway, collab, welcoming.
We got you here. We've got you welcoming people. We've got you navigating the tricky side of culture when you're not aware and you're wanting to be respectful, and you're very gentle in your guidance. But we've also got you. No, you are.
Okay.
And then we've got you as this incredible painter who generates, and you bring people to the auction. Your name is important in that sense.
Yeah, that's weird.
What does it give you? Like, we're taking a lot off you. How does it work in the other way? There's obviously something here that keeps coming back.
This thing is one of the rare environments where you can learn way more about yourself as an artist, because you're amongst a bunch of other people that are doing the same thing. And most of us are working in isolation most of the year, most of the other parts of the 2 years between point A and point B. So one of the things I get out here is just letting go. Yeah, because it's crass to talk about the money side of it. But yeah, the paintings do go for a lot cheaper. And I wish that I had 3 weeks as opposed to 3 days, because it takes me a long time to layer. I am not Jean-Michel Basquiat, who just sort of throws things around. And
and
it so works best. It takes a while, eh?
Yeah.
So in that, and then there's the process of letting go. I've got, it's you don't get your ego invested in it so much. Yeah, okay, so it's not one of my 5 grand paintings. It's not going to be that. It's never going to be that. It's going to be this. So I'm going to use this painting as a helping device for other people who are either too shy to use a paintbrush. Vivian. Helen, who I don't think had ever considered putting her print on a painting in that way. I don't know why she hasn't, but it was that whole oil. Maybe it's an oil paint, acrylic paint thing. I'm not sure. A person who has never picked up a paintbrush and painted with me before, picked up a paintbrush after that red light evening. Came down and was so excited about how he had experienced that moment of just abandon. It sounds like it was actually probably a good idea not for me to be there. I was told that it was not.
That whole
he just came down and he painted course. Something and he painted Manaya. He just did some careful little strokes and he went, that looks like Manaya.
Kerry, you worked on the piece with Paul, the old big old Paul.
Mm.
Ah.
You'd know this too. That's an interesting thing at collab. You get here and then it's like somebody else has been dreaming up this idea beforehand and you don't even know what's going on until you get here.
Yeah.
So no matter how bright your ideas might be about what you think you might accomplish in the time, someone might just come up to you and go, hey, Andrea, can you come and have a look at painting my artwork? And then it's a 5-meter long piece of carving and you're going, oh, can you just do the sunset at a certain time of day? You know, when those colour transitions, you can do it, eh?
And you can, you did.
Nah.
That was that.
Again, if I had 3 weeks, that thing would have been absolutely stunning.
Yeah, but it was collab good.
It was, it's not perfect, it's collab. It's somebody needs to make that to T-shirt.
But there was a wonderful moment. I found that I came down to the bottom area here and there was light down under the tree. And I've never seen a light down
there.
No,
he set me up down there.
So I went down and had a look, and here's this thing, the just glowing on the water's edge. And the water was bringing in the little fish. Beautiful. And it was just a magical thing to discover, yeah.
One of the, I think the reason why you put it down there is because it is that moment of sunrise when the orb itself is just leaving that bottom bit down there from the land, you know?
That breakaway moment.
Yeah, and there's like light shooting out as if it was sort of a bird's wings on fire. So he put that down there into position. So in the morning when the photography ladies had time to come down, because Ali Smith and Chris,
they work hard.
They were mean monsters. But he wanted it down there for the photo to match. He positioned it so it matched the sun.
Oh, wow.
Rise. So he got the photo for it, you know?
Yep.
That. I didn't even know he was moving it down there. He did one of these things where I was busy up top, I think, with the other works, and he says, oh, I've just put it together. It's down by the waterfront. I've taken all your gear down there and I've set up some lights. Cheer, Paul, thank you. So I was out there in the middle of the night, rain, my jacket. Everyone said, did someone spill a drink on you? And I went, no, that's damp. 2 o'clock in the morning. That's collab.
That's collab.
Somebody racing down the hill in a golf cart to screw on a nameplate in the middle of something around, racing off them in a golf cart because we're on 3 levels here, so we need.
Actually, that golf cart has been a lifesaver for some of the mobility.
Brett Sawyer's Ray White Real Estate.
The thing was full of golf balls. I mean, it's like, this is a real golf cart.
It's something I had an idea with when one of our artists was coming over from England. I mean, that's a long haul for anyone. Mm. But Eddie Dalton is loved, and he is 7 foot tall, and he's in his, I think, 70s. And because we're on layers here, you know, as far as where all the art tents are, him being a Māori, he was down here. And I knew it would be a struggle for him to come and be with us in the wharekai if he had to use his legs to get up. Because that's a long set of legs, and he's got some mobility. So the golf cart was amazing. Festival called Splore is on some of our old tūpuna whenua in Tāpapakanga Regional Park. So I learned from Splore how they utilise the golf carts to transport people. And I thought, that's an idea I can use for some people of a certain age.
Yeah.
And now it's working. It's bringing, as long as they're not stroppy and they will actually go and do it. Oh, no, I don't need this. And I says, I didn't get it because you needed it. I got it because you could use it, you know. Just use it, sure enough.
There's some very stubborn characters within
I think that's
group. That's, yeah. Because, again, you work on your own a lot. You learn how to make do, and you used to struggle. So suddenly when it gets easy, it's not that you don't appreciate it. It's just, I'm used to this. I'm going to carry on. And especially with the men folk, there's a certain amount of ego attached to, you know, being able to show that you're not going to let it beat you at the beginning of the week. But at the end of the week, it's like, you can piggyback me anywhere for some of us because it's like, damn, that thing hurts.
It is one of the lessons of collab, the process of letting it go, whether it's physically letting go of your work for somebody else to go and work on it, whether it's letting go of your ego in moments where you might have an emotion, say on a public stage, and you're feeling emotions from the last time. Because our last auction was like the day after the mosque shootings, and a couple of the artists had indirect ties to that event. And when you're tired and you're raw and you're, you know, it brings it all back to that thing, just a little hug. It helps when you've got somebody that other people think is 6 foot tall and bulletproof going, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Feel this hug. You're loved. You're all right. It's okay.
You're safe. And that sense of family that comes out of that is, I think, it's been a common theme through everyone I've spoken to. It's like you can marry into a family, but it can take years
before you can build your family.
Yep, you can do all those things. Here, we forge it. You know, it's 7 days.
Oh, you said that so much as a person from that tent up there.
Yeah, well, I've got to get the metal in occasionally. Forge. Bang, bang with the hammer. But it does melt you down. It, you you can't hold on to those things and function, so people become vulnerable.
Oh, no, you can, and that's when it turns into bitterness, resentment. You start starting to cry and grab at other people's art careers to make your one look flasher. That's where I reckon some of that stuff comes from. So this is a healing. We're in a safe environment. Everybody knows you're letting go of your work. You're letting go of your corridor. You're letting go sometimes of your mask after days. People see the real people after that time.
The 3 o'clock in the morning sessions where everyone's absolutely knackered and the guards are gone, to me, is some of the most magical times because that. Yeah, the masks fall off. And what you find often is not something that should be hidden. It's just...
Everything on its own time.
Yeah.
If you push it, it could blow up in your face. But if you just slow release it in its own time, it'll be fine-ish sometimes. Fingers crossed.
But that's collab. Yeah,
it's not perfect, it's collab.
Yes, collab perfect is a thing. I
want to ask you questions.
Oh, well, you can do it if you want.
No, we've run out of time now. This is it's been half an hour and I feel like I'm skiving away.
Yeah, I know, I feel really bad. And then I figure we're actually collabing right now. It's just a different collab.
You know, I'm going to think of a whole heap of stuff that I could say, because some of these people are really amazing. I've known them for years. And, this is the thing that they... You like Trish, Carly, Steve. It's been interesting watching them over the years, because I was lucky to get here as Andrea the artist before I became Andrea the chairman's girlfriend.
Yeah. Which comes with a whole lot of extra work, yeah.
I do it because I love my friends. Yeah. They're good people. From that kitchen staff through to the committee thing, to some of the locals, to, you know, I have Mari Noor, who was here, is a friend of mine who I went to art school's son.
Oh, okay.
So I knew him when he was like a toddler, and then I missed a lot of years of his growing up, and then suddenly I ran into him at the quarry and was like, oh, you're full grown, you know?
He's a good man.
And it was a shock.
He's a lovely man too.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Well, Mari Noor means calm, so that's helpful that he is.
Oh, man, he's a perfect name. Mm. Yeah. What would be your advice to someone listening? I've asked this of everyone who is thinking, this sounds like the world for me, but I'm not ready, or I'm whatever. Is there anything that you want to throw at them?
Thing, you're never actually going to be ready. Like, most paintings are never finished. You know, I know a lot of people who are way better artists than I am, but they have not got, and I quote, I haven't got a body of work together, but that's their... thing. So my suggestion is, you know, if you have the money to actually come and pay, because this is, you know, if you wanted to be a paying person in here, then this is a prime example, because there's lots of gear here, there's lots of people. It'll cost you more to learn from a polytechnic and a year's worth of fees. What you could do in an intensive 1 week thing here and staying in a beautiful place.
Yeah.
A lot of the overseas, but I don't think people know that really, eh? A lot of overseas artists come here, pay to come here, flights, and register to be a participant here for that. I think Americans and overseas people get that that's actually a valid way to spend their educational dollar and their learning thing, instead of going to school, student loan, to me. If you're into the intensive 1 week buzz and you can keep up, you can learn almost every single discipline we have on site. I think that's amazing in itself.
Yeah, it's
pretty easy. Just the broad variety, glass, blacksmiths, forgers, plasma cutters, jewellery. Who gets to tattoo with diamonds at a community art event if you want to, or gold or something like that? Now, that's rare, and these people have built up a stash of that so we can have the resources to do it. But not a stash of gold. Don't come ripping off the container. But that's what I get from collab.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense at all? Did I make a point?
You made a great point, which was... come, however you need to get
however
here,
you need to come, come, because you're never going to be ready, so just come. Just if come. You can, come. If you can come, keep up and not get in the way. Yep. We like you.
And we'll teach you how to do those other things if you're not sure.
Yeah. Just watch.
This has been cool. How do you want to end this?
Quickly.
I can push
with
a button.
Thank you. Thank you for, I was trying to do all this because I'm microphone scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just thank you for climbing on top of things, making things, coming up all the way from Nelson, bringing all your gear, actually getting people to talk on this so other people can hear the experiences of Caleb that transcend the decades of time and age with the participants. Because, you know, we're going up from 80 down to, what's my name, 20s here. Yeah. That's a massive gap. And it's a good one, you know.
It's a great one.
So on that note, thank you for helping project the corridor of as many people as you've grabbed to, however, out to the universe.
Kia ora, that's cool. Thank you.
Wow. Oh, that was so much fun. I can't wait for the next collab. It's so cool to be able to visit with these amazing intellects and listen to how they see the world. So thank you for joining me on today's Art Wonk. And thank you, Andrea, for your patience and perseverance when we just kept getting hammered. So folks, I'm really enjoying these. I've only got a couple left, and then I'm going to have to go hunting more experiences to share with you. But please join me again in the next Art Wonk. Until then, keep safe. Happy making.